Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
This 10th year of Daily Tech News Show is made possible by you, the listener. Thanks to all of you, including Pat, DeGracia, Daniels, and Erwin Sturr. Coming up on DTNS, AARP says gamers over 50 should be taken seriously, so we gathered some old people in Vegas to talk about it. Plus, Be Real is letting you be slightly less real as long as you're real at least once on time. We'll explain. This is the Daily Tech News Show for Monday, April 24th, 2023, live in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm Tom Merritt.
From the mouth of the Cuyahoga River, I'm Rich Straffolino.
I'm early, and I'm Scott Johnson.
And who are you?
And I'm Roger, the show's producer.
We also have with us Brian Ibbett, host of the long-running music podcast Coverville, co-host of the morning stream Film Sack and Soundography. Brian Ibbett, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And if you hear bumps, thumps, echoes, and people saying things in the background, it's because we're live with an audience in Las Vegas. Hello, everyone. Woo!
Let's go,
yeah, it's live. It's really live. Folks, the latest update to Google Authenticator adds a new app logo and support for syncing two-factor codes with a Google account. Let's start with the rest of the quick hits. The Financial Times sources say 6 months ago, ARM began work on a prototype chip based on its designs. The team making the chip is reportedly led by the former designer of Qualcomm's Snapdragon chips, Kevork Ketchachan. The team is also helping create performance and security improvements. However, it does not appear that ARM plans to sell the chip itself. Instead, they're using it just as a prototype to show customers what ARM designs can do.
You know, when we talk about Netflix earnings and subscribers, it can be kind of easy to overlook the fact that the service is still extraordinarily popular. To that point, Bloomberg passed on some U.S. TV viewing data from Nielsen and found some interesting findings. Netflix accounts for 7 to 8% of all TV viewing in the U.S. every month in 2023. You may say, okay, 7 to 8%, what does that mean? Well, YouTube is the only other service that passes 4% in viewing time, with people watching Netflix more than Hulu, HBO Max, and Disney Plus combined. Netflix also accounted for 70 to 80% of the 10 most watched shows every single week. Now, competitors have eaten into some of Netflix's dominance when we're talking about acquired content. We're talking about like maybe some older TV shows that used to be on Netflix, maybe are on other services. Netflix still, though, does account for 50 to 75% of watch time in that category most weeks. That is down from like 100, so interesting to note that. In terms of subscribers, Paramount Plus, actually the fastest growing streaming service this year, adding 7.5 million subscribers between January and March. Netflix, in comparison, added 1.75 million.
Yeah. So in summary, lots of people still watching Netflix.
Turns out.
Yeah. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear two cases regarding whether elected officials are allowed to block their constituents on social networks. So just the people who had voted them into office. Can you block the electorate? In California, two people filed a case when two members of the Poway Unified School District near San Diego blocked them on Facebook and Twitter. Now, they were making repeated posts, sometimes, you know, 40 of the same posts, and they were criticizing the school board members on issues of budgeting and how race is handled. In Michigan, a person filed a case when the city manager blocked him for his criticisms regarding the handling of the pandemic. Lower courts in California ruled in favor of the people in the school board case, as both school board members used their social media accounts in an official role. The Michigan case ruled that the city manager of Port Huron was not acting in his official role when he blocked the person on Facebook. So they ruled in his favor. So we got a split decision here. Generally, courts have ruled that if an account is being operated in an official capacity, it cannot block non-harassing or non-threatening accounts. No previous cases, however, have been heard by the Supreme Court. There was one against the president that they just decided not to hear. They said it was moot. The court also declined to hear an appeal from computer scientist Stephen Thaler. You may remember that's the one he filed against the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office when they declined to issue him a patent, well, not issue him a patent, issue a patent to an AI that he created, saying that the patent could only be issued to human inventors. So they will hear the cases about blocking people in your electorate. They will not hear the one about giving an AI a patent.
Well, one of the most visible signs of the recent wave of big tech austerity and cost cutting has mostly been around job cuts. I mean, we've definitely talked about them on this show, and they've been impacting most of the tech industry. We're also seeing this impacting, though, real estate development. CNBC reports that Google paused construction on its 80-acre downtown West campus in San Jose, California. Google planned for the space to offer a lot of stuff, 7.3 million square feet of offices, 4,000 housing units, 50,000 square feet of retail and cultural space, and 15 acres of parks. Of course, San Jose Mayor Matt Mahan characterized this as Google reassessing the timeline for Downtown West, not canceling it. We are not talking about canceling it. That's according to the mayor, but he provided no revised timeline for construction.
Not talking about that either. The U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed most of a 2021 lower court ruling that Apple's App Store policies did not violate antitrust law by barring third-party app stores. So Apple won the second round. It upheld a lower court ruling in favor of Epic Games within the scope of California's unfair competition law. Epic had won that small part of it, so that stayed. Basically, what happened in the lower court stayed unchanged. Apple changed policies after that first court ruling to allow out-of-app communications. Basically, you can admit there are payment alternatives on the web. It also lets reader apps like books, photos, news, video, etc., point users to the web to make payments. Epic Games began this case in 2020. It's now in their court, so to speak, on what to do that. And that is a look at the Quick Hits. All right, Canadian musician Grimes said on Twitter Sunday, I'll split 50% royalties on any successful AI-generated song that uses my voice, same deal as I would with any artist I collaborate with. Feel free to use my voice without penalty. I have no label and no legal bindings. This is in part to reaction to that Drake Weekend fake that came out last week. The Verge notes that experimental musician Holly Herndon has previously introduced her own artificial voice called Holly Plus. She introduced that back in 2021. Anybody can upload an audio file and get it converted into a version sung by Holly. Members of her DAO, that's a cryptocurrency thing, can actually make money off them. And of course, if you didn't already hear about that track that I was mentioning, Drake and the Weeknd, Universal Music Group has threatened to crack down on those, although it is varied in how it has cracked down on those. So it's interesting to see different artists taking different tactics on this technology. Ibit.
Yeah.
You have a lot of experience with music rights and being able to play covers on Coverville and
I
such.
I do. Yeah, what, I've heard of music rights and stuff. So what I like about what Grimes is doing is not only she's, you know, making this great offer of saying, yeah, I'll split the royalties with you. She's kind of saying, she's drawing a line in the sand that says, if you use my voice, I want 50% of
it.
Yeah. So it's kind
of a nice way of
it's
saying
a very
that.
Nice way. It's kind of like a little hidden way of saying that she liked to do that. Do I want to hear, you know, a new John Lennon song, you know, with the AI? Do I want to hear, you know, artists have passed with songs that were using AI to recreate their voice, recreate their sound? I think I just know in my head that it's fake and I'd be just disappointed by the whole thing. As curious as I would be to hear the results, it would leave me feeling a little, you know, empty inside.
100% agree with that. There's an artificiality to it that I don't think I could get with, but
even with living artists, right?
With living artists, it gets interesting, right? Because her saying, use my voice, I get 50%, you get 50%. She's basically saying, yeah, go for it. And we'll work together. Something about that is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because she's alive and can make this decision or that she's labelless and can make this decision. Because a lot of labeled artists aren't going to be able to do this. Not right away until labels embrace the idea. But I kind of like that because I want to hear what the collaboration ends up being. If it's even truly can be defined as a collaboration, I'm not sure you can even do that, because if they're going to do it without really her knowledge, just pay her for the 50%.
Well, she'd have to have knowledge to pay.
I guess she would, yeah, right. But is it a true definition. Collaboration, like a creative collaboration?
I think what she's saying is with a collaboration, I pay 50%. So if you do this, I'll also pay 50%. Mm. She's not trying to say it's a collaboration.
Yeah. And how about living artists?
I was just saying, with living artists, do they have to provide kind of a brand guideline? Like, these are words I will not say in my songs. So if you use AI to use any of these words or phrases or shill Walmart or something, you know.
Well, that's actually – Ibit, you brought up a great point when you mentioned the word brand, because this is what it got me thinking of, is that, you know, we you know, in the early 2000s, we saw music going from like product to service. And this is almost like musician, like very literally becoming a brand, where it's like they're not even involved in this. It's like the brand of their likeness is being used by an AI to create that. And like, I think that's – It makes sense for someone as kind of, you know, Grimes likes to try a lot of future facing kind of things to kind of be ahead of the curve on this. And it's also interesting that she's saying that this is not like a situation where if you're uploading this to your SoundCloud and it gets 10 listens, like she wants 50% of whatever, for the 99 cents you sell it for, whatever the case may be. She's basically like, if I hear about it and it's my voice, then I want the 50%, but only if it's going like huge. It's not like, which makes it very murky. It probably even needlessly murky at that point. But I thought that was an interesting.
But it's all being defined right now. That's right.
Yeah. It's going to get, it'll get weird before it gets settled. But, and by weird, I just mean somebody doing 3 TikToks with a song they kind of collaborated with in their own head and didn't really do much else and got very few views. No one's going to notice it. It's not going to really go viral, or maybe it will, but the potential's lower. But when you go big, then you have to start asking questions, or you have to start deciding, well, wait, okay, so you do get 50%, but I said these words. Are those the wrong words? Do we take those out now? Like, at what point do you negotiate? It just seems...
Well, yeah, we're making up the rules now. Like, is this more like a sample where the artist has control? They can choose not to let you sample. They can say, well, if you sample, you have to pay me X amount, and it can vary. Mm-hmm. Or is this something that is more like a collaboration?
And at which point does the person who uses the AI have to reach out to the artist and say, here's what I've created before I go, put it up online.
Right. Some artists
will anybody do that is the question.
Well, AI people, what's to stop them from AI people? People that want to work with AI to generate music. What if their goal is just to do something in this style of Grimes or in this style of, I don't know, Eminem or something. And they do that in the way that, say, the Gallagher brothers sounded a lot like the Beatles. Nobody, everyone said, hey, they sound like the Beatles, but nobody was saying, the Beatles, you're going to owe them money or whatever. Will that still hold here?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I got a lot of questions about that.
It's one thing when I intentionally say, yes, I was, in fact, imitating Drake. This AI was trained on Drake songs. It's meant to say Drake. Right. It's another thing if you don't admit that.
You say it's Drake-ish.
I try to say, like, oh, no, I don't know why it ended up sounding like Drake. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, complicated.
Well, another thing that's complicated is social networks. That's something BeReal is finding out. You know, earlier this month, we're kind of talking about, you know, maybe the bloom is off the rose for BeReal. People kind of getting sick of authenticity. So, Tom, I'm curious. You've been using the platform. Have you seen any issues with your feed personally?
I've been using the platform for more than a year now. If anybody doesn't know BeReal, it's an attempt to be authentic. So you get a prompt. You have 2 minutes to post. If you don't post within the 2 minutes, you can still post. You just won't be able to see anybody else's posts until you've posted. So the idea is you want to capture what's happening authentically, not stage something. So if you post right with the notification, you're playing by the rules, but it is going to end up being a lot of people looking at their laptop, like just in reality, because that's what a lot of people are doing most days. If you wait to post, it might be more interesting, but it's less authentic. So I think that turns some people off wanting to post, or it causes some people to not play by the rules and always delay their post. So they've been coming up with inducements to get you to play by the rules and post right away to keep the spirit of BeReal. They added Spotify and Apple Music integration to share what you've been listening to, for example. And Rich, they added something else now too.
Yeah, they're trying out this pilot for something called bonus BeReals, at least in the UK. And they're trying to like split the difference here, kind of give you the best of both worlds. If you post within that 2 minute window, you get the notification. You post within that 2 minutes, you get 2 other uploads that you can do that day, like at any time. They'll just go into your feed. They'll do the front and back camera kind of thing. You get 2 of those. If you miss it though, you still get a bonus, but it's only once. So there's like a little bit of an incentive, but you're not like really punished there. So it's an interesting idea. So, you know, Ibit, I'm curious, would this make you kind of look at and post more on BeReal?
It actually probably made me come back to BeReal. So I first heard about BeReal almost exactly a year ago from Tom here in the plaza, showing it to me in the bar downstairs. Yeah. And so I started going. Somewhere along the line, 6 months in, 8 months in, I fell off the BeReal wagon. But this might actually make me come back because I'm curious, you know, about seeing, I'm seeing a lot of people in GarageBand or in Adobe Audition editing stuff. I happen to follow and share with a lot of podcasters, so I see a lot of that stuff. But then getting to see maybe a picture of them hanging out with their dog or outside going for a walk when they actually have something kind of interesting, it would give some sort of, frosting to the cake of the original BeReal, here we go. It's going to be a generic pound cake, me working on a computer. But now, oh, it's frosting. You're taking the dog out for a walk. So
that's interesting. Gamified a little bit might not hurt. My whole thing, almost exactly like you, it was last year I heard about it. It was you who told us about it. Mm-hmm. And I used it for about 6, 7, 8 months, something like that. And then this started happening. It would say, take a picture of what you're doing. And I would do that. And then it would say, show us you on the selfie cam. And I'd go,
no, like, I don't want to
aim it at a wall somewhere. And
this
I started,
doesn't fix that, though.
No, it doesn't fix that at all. And so I wonder how much more I would use it, because what often would happen is the times it wanted me or would prompt me to do it, it's like, I just got up, my hair's a mess, or I just feel gross, or I just don't want to be like looking at my camera like, you know, a big dope. Mm-hmm. And so I quit using it in that way. And I think that was the spirit of the thing. The spirit of the thing is to be real, you know?
Right.
But I felt like sometimes I don't want to be real. Sometimes I just want to point that at the wall and that's my face and that's as good as you're going to get. And they even scold you on there for it. They'll say,
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, they'll say, by the way, we really like seeing your face. I'm like, well, too bad. You're looking at the wall.
Where is everyone?
I'm with Brian, though. I think these are interesting ways to dig up interest. And
my question has been not only engagement, which this does address, but also monetization. Like, what's BeReal's long-term plan? Is it to sell you more opportunities to take photos?
Oh, get a third BeReal a day for X amount. Does this mean also they're going to have to shift the time to earlier so that you've got time to use those additional BeReals? So
yeah, because sometimes they'll come fairly close together.
Yeah. I really love the concept. I feel like it just needs some kind of special juice, and maybe this is it to get them going.
Rich, you're pretty good with the BeReals. You're still into it. Do you even need this?
Yes, because there's definitely, I mean, I don't need it. My household needs it, because there's definitely been times where it'd be like, oh man, we got kids t-ball game, that's gonna be so fun, I hope that BeReal, or like, we're going to Hamilton tonight, like, would love to have that BeReal right now. And it's like, oh, it's me sitting at my laptop with the spreadsheet open again. So it's like it just gets away from a little bit of the ennui of it all. And I also think it would make the feed a little bit more scrollable, because what I do like with BeReal is it's like a very in and out a transaction, right? You're like, all right, I can just scroll through in like 2 minutes. I see what everybody's doing. I don't follow that many people because I only want to follow people that I actually know in real life. And like just a little bit more scrollability. I don't want to be like, I don't want the mechanics of like, I have to be going back in there. But I do like that it just gives you like that little bit like, okay, I can see, oh, walking the dog. Hey, that's heartwarming. But also, oh, you went to a cool concert tonight. I am really glad you did that.
And adding this stuff makes it more complicated and takes away from that aspect of it, though.
Yeah. I like Rich's lifestyle of soccer and then go straight to the Hamilton concert or the Hamilton
show. That's my life every night, Scott. Come on. You know it.
Yeah.
You know. I will say, though, I think BeReal might be feeling the need to juice their numbers. They came out today and they announced they had 2 million daily active users. I mean, to me, that sounds great, but this comes, The Verge was saying that back in October, their sources were saying that was basically their daily active users back then. So we had been covering a ton of explosive growth for them, but they might be leveling out and looking for ways to get, you know, Scott and Ibit to, you know, remember that they have the app on.
To re-BeReal.
Yes.
for Ibit to actually have to log back in again, which he had to do.
Which I had to do today.
In some ways, it is literally, they're asking you to do BeReal on BeReal.
Yeah.
Right? I could definitely
BeReal.
We get it.
You guys get it? Okay.
I could definitely see them taking like a Snapchat Plus kind of approach to this, where they don't necessarily tie it directly to bonus B-reels or whatever they're going to call it, but it's like, oh, you get this, and maybe you can do like a live photo where there's a video element to this, or you get experimental features. Like, I've been thinking a lot about how they monetize
mark
and not
photos
make
to
it.
Stick around longer, and other paying subscribers can see them.
Okay. Or like animated reactions. I bet a ton of people would like that. You know,
so maybe
like
they can. Let us add ears, cat ears, and whiskers to our laptops that we're staring at in our B-reels.
They better not add AI, because apparently the Snapchat users are rebelling against that.
Oh, AI, are they? Right? You don't want to mess with them.
Well, folks, if you have a thought about B-reel or anything else, give us an email. You know our email address. Oh, you don't? Well, it's feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
All right. Well, AARP, or the American Association of Retired People, as I like to prefer to call it, issued a study on gamers older than 50 years old. The study estimated that 45% of people in the U.S. older than 50 play video games at least once a month. That's 52.4 million people, which is, I think, a lot. There's also a bigger number than it was in 2019, and that 2019 figure was bigger than 2016. So we're seeing growing numbers of people over 50 playing them darn video games. The amount of time people older than 50 play games has risen from 8.5 hours per month in 2019 to 12 hours per month in 2022. So almost a 50% jump, definitely significant. Sure, if we dig into the figures, 73% are puzzle and logic games, while 12% are playing shooters. So that's probably more than I would have thought. But they spent an average of $49 on games in the first 6 months of 2022, which amounts to $2.6 billion. That is down, though, from $64 spent in 2019. So more people playing games, but maybe spending less. To do this story justice, we've gathered together three people who have played games and who are, from everything that I'm hearing, older than 50 for today's show. They are, as you might expect, in the city of Las Vegas. Gentlemen, I'd like to get your perspectives on this study.
What?
What? What? I didn't hear any of that.
No. Thank you, Rich. Scott, that big jump in gaming, that happened around the time you turned 50?
No. What's weird about this, it's easy for me to just see it from my perspective, and I realize there's more to the AARP landscape to consider here in terms of who they're asking and who's actually going to respond. I have a feeling a lot of hardcore over 50 gamers are probably not bothering with that survey. I could be wrong, but it just seems like something they wouldn't be interested in.
Well, I mean, I would guess that they did a random sample survey.
Probably.
They probably didn't just survey AARP members.
Yeah, entirely possible. Entirely possible. In my case, I've been playing video games since I was 6 or 7, and it's never really stopped, and it's every day, and it's too much maybe sometimes. But but my gaming habits are probably not. They are on the upper end of the far out idea. Like that's nowhere close to the median there. I'm more curious, like Brian, as someone who, when you and I talk, it's often about, hey, I found this rad new solitaire-ish game on iOS or something. Hey, you should play it or whatever. So you and I aren't like shooters and strategy games and big RPGs and AAA games conversation. We talk about the smaller stuff sometimes. So maybe there's something to this.
I think so. Yeah, for sure for me, because when I was 40, guess what I played? About 73% puzzle and logic games and about 12% shooters. So I don't think my taste in games have changed at all over the years at all. I always tended to like puzzle games and quick pick up and put down kind of games. And I'd save the first person shooters and the adventure games like that for when I had more time and that sort of thing. I'd really be curious as to what they consider an over 50 style game to be.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't. They just said, you're over 50. Do you play games?
Right.
What kind of games do you play?
Let me rephrase that. What they think a targeted, you know, what they think would attract somebody over 50.
Because a big part of this was them saying, These over 50 gamers don't feel like they're being targeted very well. They don't feel like they're being talked to or advertised properly, or the games aren't necessarily being made for them anymore. Was some of the
conceit. Think the survey was meant to be like, all right, let's see how many people in this cohort game, what kind of games do they play?
Right.
And this release was saying, hey folks, you may not think of people who are older as playing games, but the number of people who are older who are playing games is getting bigger as people who grew up with games get older. So when it says only 12% do shooters, what I would be interested in, and I didn't get a close enough look at the survey to tell, is if you slice it a little closer, is it, you know, when you look at 50 to 55, is it more like 50 or 60% that play shooters, because the people who didn't grow up playing shooters who are 70, 80 plus, they're less likely to be playing them because they never did.
The other thing I think is important to note here is I think this sort of stuff is going to run out of runway pretty quick. And the reason I say that is when you say 50 and older, you're often talking about 80s and 90s kids who were the first big generations to have this cultural phenomenon in their lives in such a major way. We were the ones going to Software Etc. and waiting for the launch of the PlayStation 1. And we were the ones waiting for all of that. And we're the ones that are really into ecosystems like Steam and Xbox and PlayStation and everything else. I feel like that this kind of questioning 10 years from now is going to be pointless because the 40-year-olds are playing even more than we did.
Well, yeah, it's going to be about who's playing the brain implant game.
Yeah, right.
You know?
It's entirely possible.
Whatever it is.
But it is interesting because as a kid, you could never imagine your aunt or your uncle, somebody in their 50s, 60s, even touching a video game. You had your outliers, like my grandma was 89 and playing arcade games. She loved it, but that's rare. And that's doesn't seem like an impossible idea that the olds don't like video games. They don't understand it or it's technology or whatever. But I feel like we're past it now. So
let's turn to someone who has much less joint pain than us. Rich, what are we missing here?
Well, I mean, just thinking about this, I don't know if 50 can be an intimidating number to some people, but I was like, that's not, you know, 1973, right? Like that is you were growing up, like you guys were saying, in the golden age of like that first, second gen of video games, you know, Atari, Nintendo, like that kind of stuff. When you were like in prime kid years, right? Like not even, you know, with disposable income or something like that. So really, as what this says to me is like, this is the start of video games being culture just in general. And Scott, perfectly to your point, like this study becomes meaningless in 10 years when like everyone either grew up around it. We're going to see all of our mass media turning to video games in that way. The one thing I am curious though about is that fall in spending. Like, I mean, you know, that's like not like we're seeing this huge uptick in like time playing, people playing, and then spending less. Is that just wider net?
Oh, Gen X is just smarter.
Yeah, that's all it is. I think I actually have a theory about that. If I'm right about my theory, is that there are so many more free to play games that actually lead into their results about puzzle and, you know, thinking logic games. Yeah. There's tons of those logic games on free platforms now. And so they're spending less. There's also lots of indies that match what those categories are. And those are $15. Those are $17.99. I think that the market changes in the depth of available content that's sub $69 has expanded exponentially even in the last 5 years. So if I had to guess, that is the reasoning for that lower price.
And I would add to that, I think people are also getting a little smarter with freemium as we learn the tricks to avoid like paying $1 million for donuts or whatever.
We're better at knowing which ones are, you know, whether Marvel Snap is a good example or not. Right, we know that because we're all kind of communicating about it because we're internet savvy also. All of those things rose together. And I don't know. Ten years from now, this thing means nothing to nobody.
I would say this also could significantly be underreported because I'm sure if I asked my mom or I asked my grandma, you know, do you guys play video games? No, but I guarantee you they have 20 game apps Solitaire. On their iPad. Yeah, they play Solitaire or Mahjong or like one of those fine.
Again, I didn't look close enough at the survey design to tell. Usually they account for stuff like that. They try to phrase questions in a way that tease that stuff out. Totally unscientifically, who in our audience is willing to admit they are over 50 and plays video games? I'm curious.
Yeah.
Show hands. That's a good amount of hands out there. Yeah.
Put your hands up, Tina.
There's also
you play Sudoku, you do.
Yeah. All right, let's check out the mailbag.
Yeah, we got a great email in from Tim the DBA. He's administering databases all day. Thanked us for the realistic view on the challenge of changing password managers and shared his story. He said when the LastPass breach happened, he decided to switch to Bitwarden. Not uncommon response. He says, it wasn't the easiest migration, but we got it working. Now, here is where I might have been able to show you up about how easy it was to switch. I went to cancel my LastPass account and delete my vault from their servers. And whoops, sometime in the past, I accidentally set up two automatic annual payments. I paid up through 2025. Being too frugal was to waste on a paid service. I'm still on LastPass. Sigh, but he says, thanks for your continued great coverage about AI. Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. That makes me feel a little better that a database administrator also has run into these kind of problems. Thank you, Tim, for sharing that story with us. And thank you, Scott Johnson, for coming all the way to Las Vegas just to be on Daily
Tech.
That
was all it was. Yeah. That was the whole reason. Yeah. No, normally I'm here on Wednesdays, and Wednesdays, you know, are my favorite, but I think maybe Monday is pretty good this week. Here's what I would like to tell people tomorrow here at this event, but also internationally, because the internet is a thing. I'll finally be launching this Kickstarter for the card game I made.
Oh, fantastic.
Over at dungeonmurder.com. It took Kickstarter forever for the approval process. Don't know why. Maybe there's a lot being submitted right now, but the bottom line is tomorrow sometime, I'm working on the exact time, but as soon as that drops, I will blast that out, let everybody know. If you are interested in that at all, please head over to dungeonmurder.com for the details. You can also follow me on Twitter at Scott Johnson and check out our live streams tomorrow if you're around, because you'll hear a lot more about it and we'll be playing the game here in Vegas. So I'm very excited about it and very happy to be able to tell your listeners today.
Fantastic. Brian Ibbett, what do you got going on?
Well, here in Vegas with a bunch of game show content that I'm producing, but back at it when I get back to town at the end of this week for more Coverville, more the morning stream, film sack, soundography, all the stuff that I produce on and co-host on a regular basis.
Yeah, make sure to check out our morning show because it's been going since 2011. We're at like almost 3,000 episodes. Yeah. And it's a great time because morning zoo shows are terrible. Mm-hmm. So we started one that is not terrible.
Yeah. We're free range morning.
We're not free range.
No phony phone calls. No man in the box.
Grass fed. So check it out.
All right. Well, also, thanks. We have a triumvirate of new bosses today to thank over the weekend. We've got Jerry. We've got John. And we've got Steve. Makes our Monday special.
Jerry, John, Steve. Jerry, John, and Steve got a live audience applause. Well done, Jerry, John.
Wait, Tom, it's always a live audience. Don't ruin the magic of podcasting. Anyway, thank you, Jerry.
I mean, a different live audience than normal.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, John. And thank you, Steve.
Thank you all. You are now patrons, and as a patron, you get Good Day Internet, the extended show. Stick around, because we're going to talk about what is going on with Twitter Blue. Why are people who haven't paid, or in some cases even still with us, getting check marks? We don't know either, and maybe we shouldn't care. But we're going to talk about all of that on Good Day Internet. Stick around.
Remember, you can catch us live on Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 2000 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. We will be back tomorrow. See you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.